minister made it very clear. Between which times you must be able to travel. So between 5 and 9 and between 4 and 8 in the evening. Ayanda Ali Payne, good to have you on the show.
Kino, it's a huge pleasure to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for your time.
I've been loving your work, by the way. So, listen, just a quick one. So I asked the Premier of the Western Cape yesterday. I said, Alan, what? And it was based on a lady who called into the show. She says, we go and get our grants. Right? We leave early in the morning. We might catch whatever we catch at 5 o'clock, let's say a taxi. They stop at 9 o'clock. How do I get back after 9?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to understand the objective of why we're doing what we're doing at the moment. We are trying to limit the numbers of people on our roads.
Sure.
And the number of people gathered in any place, be it places where they commute, places where they work, etc., so that we can try and contain this virus and flatten the curve. I think with that as a point of departure, people will understand why it is that we've put these regulations in place. So, yes, there have been calls. A lot of people have also inquired, you know, what if I go to the doctor at 9 o'clock is my appointment? How do I get back home? These are the things that can be looked into as we implement this lockdown. But I think it's important that we abide by the letter and the spirit of what we're saying. So it sounds harsh and heartless for me to say Gogo must wait until 4 o'clock for the next round of taxi trips to commence. Mm. But as things stand, unfortunately, that is the situation at the moment, and that is what needs to happen. Now, that is not to say that this can't be re-looked at. That's not to say that we can't see whether or not there can be special arrangements that are made for the elderly, for the sickly, for those who absolutely must travel in between those peak morning and afternoon drives. But at the moment, as things stand, we as law-abiding citizens must be able to say, Gogo can only then come back at 4 o'clock if she if she misses the 5 to 9 a.m. Breakfast rush. And again, let me hasten to add that these are some of the issues that have surfaced during implementation, and we're going to revisit and look at whether or not they can be tweaked here and there, because at the end of the day, yes, we must fight COVID, but the government is doing the best that it can to make sure that it looks after the most vulnerable as well.
What they did in Wuhan, after chatting to I think her name was Amy that we spoke to, she was held up in Wuhan, obviously the epicenter back then. She said that the government put taxis in place that would then respond to a request, and the request was very specific. You know, not the if one looked at the criteria around you needing to be able to use those particular transport services, it would only be for certain things, and you'd need to be able to prove that. So some people are suggesting maybe do what they did in Wuhan, where you did have regular taxi services available, albeit limited, for specific needs. And if they don't fall within those needs, you're going to have to say to people, sorry, we can't take you. That was one way they seemed to have dealt with it in Wuhan itself.
Of course. And, you know, we are open to these suggestions and ideas. And I must commend South Africans for their active citizenry. They've come through fast and furious with a number of suggestions of what we can do. And I think, though, it's very important while we do look at case studies and benchmarks overseas, and we must in order to understand what we're dealing with here, we also have to consider that we're discussing different economies. You know, when it comes to our scenario here in South Africa, the taxis are not regulated. They are not subsidized. They are in the process of having negotiations with government to see how we can bring them into the fold as we do with the buses and the trains. But as things stand, that is not the situation. So we have to try, and while we do look at best-case scenarios and worst-case scenarios, look at our own personal nuances here in South Africa. But again,
that's
not to say that we're going to throw away all these suggestions. They must be looked at. Remember, you know, we have never been down this road before.
Yes.
We've never been to this place before as a people, as a country, as a government. And so I think it's important also to realize that we're on the same side here. We're
Agreed.
All fighting against one common enemy. And if by implementation we get one or two things wrong, it's not for a lack of trying, and it's not intentional. It's because we want to work together to find those solutions. Right now, we need to do all that we can to curb this virus. You've heard news of the latest developments with regards to infections or fatalities or the like. You've heard all those reports.
Exactly.
It reminds us now more than ever that it may seem drastic and harsh, you know, the plans that we're putting in place. But if it will save lives, it's necessary. And we must get to a place where we're stopping trying to normalize an abnormal situation and trying to seek comfort in the days of COVID. And it sounds really, really nasty of me to say that, but it's absolutely important. I mean, I'm taking calls, Kino, from people who are finding all sorts of ways to try and contravene the laws.
Yep.
Oh, can I move house? Yep. You know, I bought a new house, Kino, I'd like to move next week. Can I move?
I got one of those yesterday. I got one of those yesterday. You can't.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody else are trying to find every excuse to go and walk a dog. But, so I agree with you. We've never been here. And the minister said this. They all said this in this particular briefing that was had, that, you know, these regulations change as we move on, as we learn more. But the bottom line is we need to save lives. So I do think, though, the fact that people are making great suggestions and the fact that that is being taken on board and they are being looked at is a good one. But now, just more specifically now, we've had some people phoning us saying, how many passengers can I have in my car? We used to go carpooling. So can we run through some of the key regulations once again so that nobody misunderstands it, Ayanda?
I love it, Kino. And the fact that people are calling you wanting to know how to comply further is a reminder for all of us in South Africans. South Africans actually want to obey the law, hey? And it's a beautiful thing to see. Firstly, if you are carpooling, well done, because you are making sure that we have less congestion on the road that is outside of the lockdown. But here's what you can do. In a vehicle that takes 4+1, so that's 4 passengers, 1 driver, it is now a 1+1, only 1 passenger and 1 driver. You're not allowed to sit side by side with the passenger if you're the driver. The driver must be behind you diagonally, and that is for social distancing causes. And if you then drive a 7-seater, there are only 3 people who are permitted in that vehicle, and the third being the driver. So 1 driver, 2 passengers.
Yep.
For those who have bigger vehicles, maybe minibus taxis, or some of the slightly bigger ones that are 22-seaters, we are then saying 50% of the capacity. If you're driving a 22-seater, you are only allowed 11 people in that vehicle, and the 11th person will be the driver. If you're driving a 16-seater, it is then 8 people. The 8th person is the driver. But where it gets tricky is when you've got maybe 15 and you can't really cut in half the number of people that are there.
Yeah.
But always on the side of caution. It's 50% or less. So don't go over by one person. Rather be under by one person.
Well, exactly. And those regulations pretty clear. And you can find a podcast for this as well. But we've got Seth in Somerset West, Ayanda, trying to make a suggestion, I believe. Seth, a very good morning to you, sir.
Ah, good morning, Kino, and well done for the amazing show.
Thank you.
Kino, I'd like to make a suggestion. The economy is devastated, and there's a lot of small B&Bs or boutique hotels or whatever they are that have had to shut down due to massive cancellations. I'd like to make an appeal to whomever it is, the government or the owners of the hospitals, private and public, is that instead of the nurses and the doctors having to travel all the way home and put them on the roads and put other people in danger, is to enter into agreements with the B&Bs and the little boutique hotels to offer them up as a place that the nurses and the doctors can go to so that they're not endangering their families at home, that they are able to operate in a sealed environment.
Yeah.
And I think this is a huge opportunity, and I'd like to encourage all hospital management to do this because, firstly, it's going to reduce the danger to society at large, and it's going to help an element within the economy to at least keep their heads above water.
I like what I'm hearing there, but Ayanda, you want to respond to that?
Seth, love it. Innovation for me is always key, and we're finding opportunities to work well both with the private sector, with civil society, and this is where we make a clarion call to other factors. You know, if you just look solely to government, you're not going to get this right. Remember that before COVID-19, ours was an economy that was the worst for wear, in dire need of resuscitation. So we're already dealing with an economy here that is in desperate need of assistance and unemployment rates, etc., you name it. So we're in a situation now where we're appealing to members of private sector, civil society to also lend a hand. And I'm quite inspired because we have heard quite a number of people, e-hailing services, the Ubers of this world, the Bolts of this world, the Total Garages, and I'm just naming just a few who have said, we will transport such people. We can do that. We can assist. And of course, yes, you're quite right. If the B&Bs are able to come and say, we will reduce our amount that we charge, perhaps come in, because at the end of the day, it does boil down to what we can afford by way of intervention. But I love the fact that South Africans are thinking outside the box, that they are willing to work together to fight this virus.
So Ayanda Ali Payne, by the way, Transport Ministry spokesperson. And when you speak to Minister Razmataz, maybe you should whisper that suggestion in his ear. We'll certainly be chatting to Minister Naledi Pandor today, and obviously the one we always talk to is Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi. And as these suggestions come through, we try and make sure that they filter into some of the key decision-making bodies nationally. So I really want to thank you for your time, Ayanda. People want to find out 100%. More about the regulations. We shall share that on this platform. Ayanda Ali Payne, spokesperson for the Transport Minister.